there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passengers this week are two bad boys in one of the UK's most exciting bands. They are not only famous, they're infamous. Their amazing brand new album is out April the 5th, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade. Please don't throw a telly out me plane window. It's Pete and Carl from the Libertines. This is the final boarding call. Final boarding call for Pete and Carl from the Libertines. Pete and Carl from the Libertines. Pete and Carl from the Libertines. Final call. Pete and Carl from the Libertines. Can you come out of that fucking weather suit? Thank you.
We've got Carl and Pete on the flight from Libertines.
Woo-hoo! Hot dog!
Yeah.
I had a dream about you last night.
What's
so,
this?
So last night, I'm giving our sheets about what we're doing, and they said, must have fed into a dream. They said, Alan Carr, and then we're doing something with Tim Burgess. So anyway, in my dream, I was working as a translator at the Scottish devolved parliament, right, where you were having a debate with Francois Hardy, right, about wind farms, okay, and the funding for wind farms. And Listen to this, and I'm supposed to be translating it for this group of, there's a group of Russian soldiers and a group of Ukrainian soldiers all sat there, fully armed to the teeth, balaclavas, and I was translating. And then you started having a sing-off, and you sang a Charlotte song, I can't remember what one, and she sang Scarborough Fair, and I was expected to translate, and then you were insisting that I did the moves as well to the dance.
I bet you couldn't wait to wake up, could you? That sounds like... That's not a dream. You go, I'll have five more minutes. That must have been terrifying. Did I sing all right?
It was challenging. That was great. It was good.
Oh, amazing. That's good.
I think it'd make a good podcast. Yeah.
Pete's dreams. Do you like cheese? Had you had a lot of cheese before you'd gone to bed?
I didn't last night, no.
Can you imagine what dreams you would have if you did have cheese, if they're the dreams you're having when you're not having a cheese?
I think that's part of the reason I started taking cheese.
You take a lot of cheese.
Because everyone was like, when
that's got some cheese habit.
What's your favourite cheese?
Comté, Pont-à-Vec, and a nice creamy goat's cheese.
Do you like Boursin?
Boursin and Dupin.
Oh, right, just because you're half French now.
Yeah, Boursin's all right, yeah, yeah.
Cheesy string? Do you like cheesy string?
Cheesy string.
Babybel?
Yeah, cheese string, aren't you?
I don't know what, I'm not sure what cheese string is.
It's cheesy, you've had cheesy string.
I love cheese string.
Yeah, I'm a sophisticated cheese consumer. Just
because you've moved to bloody Normandy, you're being...
I don't and cheese string.
Don't
get above yourself.
Yeah, you're being a cheese wanker.
Proud cheese wanker.
Proud cheese wanker. Now, I was telling you about, well, we were talking before, we're talking about a lot of things, weren't we? Like foxes with the barbed penis.
Yeah.
Did you know about this? No. Anyway, tough crowd. Yeah, because I've seen a fox out there, but they have a barbed penis. Did you know about that? You told me.
I did hear about it. It was such a Pete told you.
No, I think it's similar to the structure of a dog's penis. I think I'm right in saying that once the penis is erect and goes in, it releases these six barbed claws, so that basically you cannot pull out.
Oh, until
the,
grappling
until the deed is done. Yeah,
hence, my ex was like that.
Hence the she.
So did you do the noise?
There's a lot of it about.
I don't know where to go with this now.
No, I get six pronged things.
Something like that. I think I'm right saying, yeah, I'm not sure about the exact details, but basically you can't pull out, so once you're in...
You're in.
Yeah, and I think hence the unholy, demonic-like shrieking you get from the female fox.
Yeah. That's going to hurt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still they do it.
They still fuck.
They
never learn, those foxes. Yeah. So listen,
travel. You obviously do a lot of travelling with the band and everything. Do you do it for fun when you're not touring, or do you have enough of it when you're out and about?
No. My dream time really is just being at home with my feet up with the dogs, and we've got a new babby.
It's not great for the podcast, is it?
And I don't like leaving the house, really. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Because it's such precious time, you know, and then maybe you'll get 10, 11 days and then bang, you're off doing, I don't know, a few days of promo somewhere, or mostly it'll be gigs, so you'll be doing festivals or elongated tours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or short tours.
Because I was reading Billy Connolly's biography and he says, you know, for him, travelling always equates with work. And so he's a bit like you, he doesn't really like going anywhere. And I think that's a bit, I've just finished a mammoth tour last year. And it is the last thing you want to do. You just want to sit and watch some telly, don't you? And just chill.
Yeah.
Where do you go when you go on holiday?
I'm going away tonight, actually. I'm going to Spain.
Oh, nice.
But then the trouble is I'm staying in a hotel that we stayed in on tour. So I'm going to be waking up asking the kids where catering is. What time sound check is. No. We're going to that one that Gary's kids came in, near Barcelona.
Yeah, nice there.
Apparently weather shit as well, but, you know.
Oh, try and be positive.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us then, where was the worst place you've been on holiday? And we're not slagging off towns because it's a very positive podcast, but there's been something that's been a bit of a disappointment.
I think, probably for me, Hailing Island was a bit...
What's that?
It's down by Southampton. I went to, you know, when you're a kid, if you go to those holiday camps, but you can't actually afford the Butlins or the Pontins. It's one of them.
Oh.
And it was a very sad affair. And the weather wasn't great. And I remember I got into a canoe, and I didn't know, I can't swim, I don't have any structure. And it broken down the bottom. And then I started seeing these jellyfish everywhere. And then they were coming in my canoe. It sounded like one of Pete's dreams. It was a horrendous scenario.
God, that sounds very intense.
It's pretty grim. And then after that...
So you were in the canoe and you couldn't swim?
Yeah, and then there was a crack in the side. They all fucked.
Oh, no, that's health and safety nightmare.
Back in the day, no one cared, did they? We made the tougher stuff back then. And then I remember after I got dried off, I had to go to the... I think it was like a sort of national tradition for the parents to get pissed, or the grandparents in my case. And then they start doing that thing where they pass a balloon... And you start losing losing all communication with them, and they start doing, and they're trying to get you up and dancing.
between your chin and your chest to the knees.
Yeah, but there's still them doing it. The kids are just going, what the fuck is going on?
Great British tradition.
And then Agadoo. And then there's just this thing I remember. It's a very distant memory, but you said it. I remember it being bad, and you said the worst.
Yeah. I mean, you're delivering on this question. It sounds awful. Jellyfish, cracked canoe, Agadoo.
Gets worse.
It only gets worse when you see your grandparents sat like in a line, in two lines on the floor with their legs like this. Like they're in a boat pretending and doing this. I don't know what was going on.
Oh, that's oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head. That's not Agadoo. No,
it's called the sitting conga.
No, this is the
It's my favourite dance. If I ever went on Strictly, I would do that one. Oops upside your head.
What,
you don't even get up.
Yeah, you sit with your legs like that.
You're sat straddling a biddy.
You know the episode of Fools and Horses where they go to Spain and the old granddad gets done for previous battle gun running in the 30s? And they have those bits in Fools and Horses where they have a still clip.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But there were one point that was sat like that in the disco.
So that was
dealt
thing,
with
right?
A shiny black.
So do you remember that? Do you don't remember that?
Yeah, I mean, and also you used to get on the floor and you'd love it, but you'd wake up, you'd get up and there'd be all fag ends, beer mats. Beer on your thing, but it was a tradition when you all do oops, upside your head.
Yeah, fucking great night.
It's before that song. Mine's more like, definitely more I could do, or hold a chicken in the air.
Hold a chicken in the air, stick a picture up your nose,
fly a jumbo jet, and then bury all your clothes, paint your left knee green, and then fill your wisdom teeth, and pretend your name is Keith.
That's it.
Here
we
go. Very secret.
The Cheese
Blues. So, where's your worst place you've been?
Well, this is going to make me sound very posh, according to Carl. But we went to Butlins. We went to Ferrelli Butlins, which are good memories of. But my parents sold it to me by saying, "Look, Brian Robson is doing a soccer school there for all kids between the age of 6 and 12. And it was great. It was amazing. But of course, we got there and we stood in the freezing cold rain on this five-a-side pitch. I was there in like my full QPR kit waiting for Brian Robson. And of course, it wasn't the Brian Robson. It was a Brian Robson, right? A local, but they'd sold it on this. I suppose it's part of the joke. And I refused to accept it. And I waited for hours and hours. I said, no, he's going to come. They promised. My parents promised. They were, no, it's a different. And I refused to accept it and just stood there long after everyone had gone in the rain. Waiting for Brian Robson. I've always just been waiting for Brian Robson.
Yeah. But no, I had a similar thing happen on the same holiday. I just remembered. I'm not trying to like take away your sympathy. But so there was a guy signing autographs for the swimming pool. And it was Duncan Guidhew. He was a famous swimmer back then.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, Duncan Guidhew.
And then as I got to the end of the queue, and I finally got up to him, and he goes, right. And then the guy next to him goes, have you got your quid? And I was like, no, I ain't got a quid. And he goes, well, you can't have a signature.
Get out. No, that's so tight. That's mean.
I mean, he had to pay for his photos and his manager. I get it. It's a bit rough, wasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, can you please stop doing oops upside your head in the gangway? I'm trying to get the trolley down. Thank you.
Have you ever had a holiday romance? You know, when you're younger, is there like a young girl in Benidorm or Butlins looking out at the sea going, oh, I wish they'd come back?
Well, you know, I had a bit of an upgrade from my earlier experiences. I went with a friend whose family paid, and we went to Haven Holidays in Weymouth.
Haven Holidays,
super family holidays. Hope that y'all enjoy your stay with Haven Holidays, I think was the jingle. And that was the same.
God, this is like Life's the Beach, the musical. We're getting so many good songs.
And I think that was the year. See, this is what I was thinking about. I think they were still doing the floor dance.
Let that go, that floor dance. You're clearly traumatised.
I'm carrying trauma, I know. But that was the year. But the boom, 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 Let Me Hear Say Wayo came out.
Oh, yeah, boom, 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 let me
Say Wayo, Wayo. But the DJ, very cleverly, of this institution, had switched Wayo for Weymouth. So it was.
That's clever.
But yeah, and I remember that was the first holiday where I was getting a bit older. I used to take my homegrown weed with me. I remember everyone went to go to the red coat thing, and I stayed grilling it in the caravan. I didn't realize I was so stoned anyway. I was so baked. I didn't realize that I'd not that I'd not lit the gas. So I went to go and have a look at it. And then I lit it, literally, eyebrows just gone. Anyway, so I very dazed. I stumbled into the Haven Holiday thing. One of the red coats felt sorry for me. And she was a young red coat.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then something developed, blossomed.
She sewed your eyebrows back on.
Well, no. I think
she took my eyebrows off the roof because they'd blown off.
I don't know what she could have seen in a young stone, like 14-year-old with no eyebrows. But, yeah.
That's lovely, though.
Yeah, it was nice. Then I went back to see her again. And then I went for a follow-up. Because, you know, you're so in love on hotel.
God,
on holiday
you are, yeah. Of course, you're full
you
of emotions.
It's the most important thing in the world. And everything seems so magical and misty-eyed and special. And I went back to see her. And she picked me up at the station. I won't say where it was in case she's one of the 26 million listeners. And she was listening to Christian music, which is not, I have nothing against.
Uh-huh.
But she was singing along to it in the car. And, things took a turn. That's why Holiday Romance should stay Holiday Romance.
Yeah, you see, you wanted a follow-up. No, I noticed none of us started doing a burst of Christian music there. Not as popular as Weymouth!
Christian soul.
No, it wasn't.
Marching
out to war. It was modern, like Christian rock.
And they just changed the word baby for Jesus in those songs.
It was Christian rock, yeah.
Massive market as well.
But it was like Rod and Todd from The Simpsons, that kind of vibe.
Hooray!
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Have you ever had a holiday romance? I mean, that age when
we went on one of those exchange programs. I moved around a lot as a kid. It was an army brat.
Yeah.
And one of the places we were living was near Portland in Dorset.
Oh, that's where I was born, Portland.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Anyway,
so we went on a French exchange program with the, just across the channel it would have been, and the sort of Mont Saint-Michel, South Normandy, North Brittany area. And we were all allocated to a different family. And I remember my mate, Chris Chipperfield, he got put with someone who had their own tennis court, swimming pool. Another lad, his dad was the mayor. And I got put on this farm where they didn't even, I didn't even go into school for the week. I was working on the farm for this bloke's mum and dad.
Slave labour.
Basically, yeah.
That happens in The Simpsons.
It's a true story, this. Don't...
What, sorry.
I swear down, I'm a child, this is a true story.
Okay, yeah, okay. I was just saying it's similar.
They didn't put me to work on the farm, but it was that sort of vibe, right? We picked a few things. Anyway.
You're stealing Simpsons plot lines to.
For my life. There's a name for that illness.
Boss, Mr. Burns.
My doctor said I'm not supposed to have forks in my eye. So, you know, there was at that time, I think, there was a girl at school. I remember there was girls in my English school I really liked, and. I don't know, they just used to, like, I don't know, I remember getting, they just, they weren't into me, it was never reciprocated. But this French girl, she started making me all these letters. Oh, and I'm obviously 11 or 12, but I was absolutely smitten, and she was gorgeous in my memory. And she was making me these letters, and she was like cutting and pasting blokes from, handsome blokes from perfume adverts in a collage, you know, saying, je t'aime, I love you, you smell so nice, and all this. And we wrote to each other for a while, yeah, and I think I got my first sort of, well, literally, French kiss there as our chartered bus was going back across the Le Mans.
When you left the farm.
Yeah, and I think we wrote to each other for a while. And I think my mum found some of the letters, like, dirty, dirty boy.
Lucky boy.
No. But yeah, no, it's actually quite a sweet memory in my head because
that's nice.
He's getting these collages and poems off this lass. And it was my first love and a childhood romance, yeah.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
You've got, have you both got the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it luxury? Is it up with the Ritz or is it a bit?
Well, put it this way. Okay, I'll let you be the judge. Before we had it, it was voted the worst hotel in Thanet and the third worst in England. It was a BBB called Palm Court. But it was more of a spa, in inverted commas, in the back room and then the cheap rooms. And then, so we bought it. It was derelict by then.
Yeah, it still had like remnants of what had been before. There was like a big space with two hot tubs and a sticky floor, and a sauna that said no smoking in the sauna.
So and the local council, Environmental Health, they had complaints. They did a test. They found 17 types of spunk on one pillow in one of the rooms.
Oh, sorry about that. He's having an orgy and he did a last minute booking.
boxes of uneaten cheese. Well, we kept those, right?
Because like cheese.
Well, I bet with age as well. But now we've put in a recording studio, a small bar, a music venue, and upstairs we've got six or seven bijou little hotel rooms.
Nice. Yeah. I need to come and stay.
Welcome
I love
that. Anytime you want. We've got CCTV now, so.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, keeping a fucking eye on you is what it means.
Stop your nicking.
Stop spaffing on the
I can't. Do you know, at my age, getting 17 different types out. I had to book in another night. I'd use the spa. Can people talk about your hotel on TripAdvisor?
Yeah.
Do you read the... Are people just sometimes a bit of a dick because...
I don't follow... Carl's up with all that. He's got his finger on the pulse.
Do you normally get five stars, four stars?
Yeah, there's been a few. People always get angry about... Well, do you know what? One reviewer came and they shut the bed.
The upside of it was they gave us an amazing review.
They did.
Suggestion meant we would never, ever mention.
But we got some belters. People get pissed off about strange things, but... Yeah.
Do you complain when you go to hotels and what do you complain about
if
you
go to ours?
basically, everyday lack of manners is what gets me, to be honest. When you arrive in a hotel with all your luggage and you've been through an airport and a taxi and a foreign city and you don't even get hello or good afternoon.
No, and they want your credit card. I hate that. Straight away, where's your credit card? As if you're going to fucking chain yourself up to the bedroom. Ha ha, you're in now, you'll never get me out.
And I've noticed if I go in, you know, like with my tip for on and a suit of toys, how are you? Like, welcome. Mm. But if I go in a bit scruffy, like, you know, in a shell suit and like flip flops, that's when you get the who do you think, you know, who do you think doing our lovely hotel? It's like, come on. Yeah. What happened to basic human decency? No, good afternoon.
Thing at our place that, like, I mean, that since the inception we had to have, which was just warm staff, you make you feel that you're like, you're supposed to leave feeling better, not worse.
Of course. That's
so
nice.
That'd be my complaint only, really. It's not so much about facilities. Although I did insist, when we were putting the room together, I insisted there was going to be no tellies in the room, just typewriters, portable record players, but now when I'm staying there, I'm like, there's no fucking
time. Yeah, no, that's quite, it's quite ideological. Your business sense is quite ideological.
No, it's 3 a.m. but I want to check the news or something.
And, you also said that people could stay for free if they write a poem.
Yeah.
Which didn't really work out.
Oh, my God, is he that you can't capacity. Have this? You, as a business partner, this is stay for free and write a poem.
Not just like...
There once was a woman from Nantucket.
No, I'm not talking about school. You're welcome. So how's my book?
She had a cute angina.
I'm not talking about school in Limericks on the blog. What I'm talking about, somebody maybe would stay and write a small novella or some beautiful verse, and then in return for their week's worth of creativity, we can then, everyone benefits.
So when they check out, they have a card in one hand, a poem in the other, and you get to adjudicate as to whether their poem...
Yeah, they have a poem in one hand and a peace sign in the other.
All right.
Or two fingers, I mean, because there's mirrors everywhere. So
what are you going to pay the staff?
One man's peace sign is another man's. Yeah,
right.
We all live on dreams though, don't we?
Yeah.
Really?
Because Margate's having a bit of a moment at the minute. I do a show called Interior Design Masters, and it's a funny bit because up and coming Margate, and I did all this beer, and then behind me, we didn't realise, we had to go and film it somewhere else. There's a sign, please do not shit in my alleyway.
I know that alley. Yeah.
It's next to the rum bar.
Yeah, but it's for the dogs more than anything, but yeah.
Well, it's still shit, isn't it? Still don't want to tread in it. Oh, it's a dog. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, dogs can read, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Margate's been up a couple
of grades. Dogs can't read. That's why it's so full of shit. Yeah. Oh, didn't see that.
but for centuries, Margate has attracted wave after wave of people seeking inspiration or even recuperation. People always go there for the air. There's supposed to be something magical in the air. Oxygen, that's it. Yeah, it helps the blood circulate and... You know more about this. You were saying about Turner, T.S. Eliot, Dickens. They've
exactly.
not only been inspired there, but...
And that lovely theatre is the second oldest one in...
the Theatre Royal?
Yeah. I've played there. That is a beautiful old theatre. You feel when you go on there, you feel
it's
like...
It's closed down now, though.
Oh, you're joking me.
Well, 2 years, 3 years.
They're talking about maybe they're gonna do it up. It's going to cost 17 million or something.
Yeah. How can it cost 17 million?
A lick of paint would do, wouldn't it?
Come on.
I could get cheaper than that. Like,
that's such a shame, because that's really historic, that.
Yeah, Winter Gardens down there as well. That's derelict at the moment. But hopefully, with a lot of the new money that's coming in, I mean, they could have a whip round, no?
Yeah,
I think they're really culturally important. The fact you remember it. And like, you know, Churchill and the Beatles played the Winter Garden, not on the same night.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's like his cheese dream. Yeah. Also, I think you are a bit of romantic as well, because you know you live in Normandy now. Where that is, because I saw the Louis Theroux documentary, all the painters used to go there, didn't they? Monet and everything.
That's
that was
right.
A real cultural hotspot. And some of the poets used to go there as well, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Victor Hugo spent a lot of time around there. And then, of course, Maurice Leblanc, who wrote, he wrote about a guy called Arsène Lupin.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw the series Lupin. But Arsène Lupin was the French equivalent of Sherlock Holmes, except he wasn't... so much a detective as a criminal with a detective mind, but sort of a Robin Hood figure, you know what I mean? So he robbed for the rich and kept most of it, gave some of it to the poor. But there's an amazing monument where the cliffs have been eaten away over time by the raging tides. It's created this sort of elephant-type shape.
Sort of arc.
Yeah, an arch, the Fellers
de Mont.
And there's three of them, and all the treasures of the medieval kings are supposed to be buried in some of these, inside the cliffs, yeah. Which, yeah,
I saw your house actually on the series. I was watching the series on Netflix.
Yeah,
blown up on my French, and your house.
It was my wife's granddad's house, but yeah,
that's the one. Yeah,
yeah. We live there.
And do you like it there?
I'm very at peace there.
Yeah,
yeah, very at peace there. Yeah, I love it there. Actually.
Oh, that's good.
I do. Yeah. You live there full time.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say this is a lovely part of town. This is like
and
gorgeous.
You wouldn't think you're so close to central London. It's so quiet. No one.
But this is your house.
Yeah.
And you're self-made man, right? Is that?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, fair
gorgeous,
you, man.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, man. This is fucking gorgeous.
Thank you.
No, seriously.
What did you think? I was a squatter.
I don't know.
Quick. The owner's coming. It's like Bugsy Malone.
We could have been anything that we wanted to be. Wah, 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 with all the talent we had. We thought about it. Malicious and mad.
We're the very best at being. We brought them to the core.
My congratulations, no one likes you anymore. Bad guys, we're the very worst. Each and every one of us, contemptible and cursed.
No doubt about it. All
right, oh my God, you went into the second verse. Yeah. Amazing. Life's the beach, Scott Talent. Love it. How adventurous are you on your holidays? Do you try street food when you go to Thailand? Will you try a delicatessen?
Yeah. I've got a decent amount of Imodium.
Yeah.
Oh, you and your Imodium.
But yeah, no, absolutely. I do try it.
What's the most the thing? Well, what's the most exotic you put in your mouth?
Well, I mean,
Alan,
what? It's a normal question.
I had a deep fried battered tarantula in Cambodia. Well, I take the guts out first, so it's just the crunchy
fuck
bits.
That. I could not eat a fuck. Oh, I can't even. Don't. That's making me feel sick.
I had a cricket.
Wasn't that nice?
This is how little respect I have. I'm doing my sitcom. The security guard. All right, Alan, how you doing? He puts a fake plastic spider on my shoulder. I got it. Thinking it's the real one. Where's the hello, Mr. Carr? Would you like a cup of tea? I've got no respect. Why would you do that?
You can imagine the night before at home, like, I'm going to try Jerry the Spider. And Alice went like, oh, yeah, no, he'll like that.
Yeah,
a week later, he's at the Dole office.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fired. No, I
wasn't
fired.
You're fired.
So, tarantula, what did it taste like? Chicken? Pretty, everyone said.
Pretty, no, it was pretty gopping, actually.
Was you off your head when you did it, or was you just...
No. I tried to be, but the bloke ended up just saying, I think it was just baby powder he sold me. So I was perfectly sober.
So, have you ever had tarantula?
No, I did. At one point, I faked eating a cricket because the rest of the band were doing it. But then when I heard the skull pop, I thought, I've got to
No, but that's the future. Insects is the future. What with, you know, the overpopulation and the methane and that, it's a source of protein. You know, I mean, if you just get your head out of the idea that you're eating insects, which puts a few people off, you mix it in with rice, some lentils, you know what I mean? Plenty of salt, you're away.
It's still around yours then?
Yeah. Hey, I've got an idea, business plan. Why don't we set up like tarantula cottage or something? You know, like chicken cottage.
Well, you got the farm, like... you got the farm.
Yeah.
16th century tarantula cottage. I know a bloke who's got a steady supply of them. He used to work as a security guard at some kind of...
So tell us, where is on your bucket list? Where do you want to go that you haven't been?
Cuba. I think I'd fancy Cuba.
Oh, that's nice. I've been there.
I've never been Cuba, was it?
It was lovely. And of course, it's all communist, as you know.
Was that when Castro was still alive?
Yeah, I went there. But, you know, the beautiful... And it is exactly... like, you know, you go and see some adverts for it. The old cars driving around... Oh, and because they didn't get any money when Hurricane Katrina came, so these gorgeous houses are still ruined where everyone else got money from America. So it's it's all a bit, you know, weather beaten and everything, but the vibe's great. Every bar's where Hemingway, you know, the mojitos are like £1. It was amazing.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so that's on my list.
Oh, am I going to India? I've never been there.
I saw that Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
On a plane. Yeah, amazing film, man, yeah. You know, about the kid who rises from the
slums.
Yeah,
yeah. He's on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
And then you follow his life back and how he learned the answer to each of the questions.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all
yeah.
These obscure references and how he picked them up for his adventures through the underworld.
But... yeah, this is a bit off topic, but do you know anything about toilets? Because that stopcock, can you hear that stopcock?
Yeah, no, I can sort that out. It'll be the weight. It's normally the weight.
Yeah, but it's one of those toilets where it's actually in the wall. I can't get
the There might be something in the system, maybe a gun or something.
A gun?
What do you want? One of those Japanese toilets with all the buttons?
Oh, Jonathan Ross has got one of them.
Yeah.
You sit on the toilet, you press any button, it's like Alton Towers for your anus.
Yeah.
They talk to you as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you suss it out on tour, basically. You know, because if you put your foot on it, it thinks there's a person there. And if you get it right, if you time it just right, you can go... yeah, come on, look at this. What is this? Hit the button, bam! Much mirth.
You know, in your crazy hedonistic days, have you ever been thrown out of a hotel or a country?
I've been thrown out of a few countries, yeah. Yeah, Sweden, Switzerland. I'm not allowed back into America.
You're not like back in America.
Well, yeah, we're working on that.
Trying to get the visa sorted. But
yeah, it's literally barred from America, China, Japan. The list goes on.
Well, at one point I was told I wasn't. One magistrate, it was the days of creative sentencing, and she banned me from London between 9 p.m. and I wasn't allowed a London postcode between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. That was about 2012. Yeah.
Was it like posh postcodes?
No, any London postcode.
Any London postcode.
To be honest, at the time, it wasn't the posh postcodes I was interested in.
No. I mean, I'll just, yeah. Oh, my God.
E9, bro. Yeah. So, where else? Norway.
Do you ever get the impression some hotels didn't want you there because they thought you were going to trash the place?
Yeah.
Did you have to go as a pseudonym?
Yeah, I used to check in. We used to have a pseudonym. You were always... who's the guy who wrote the cock and ball story?
Tristan Shandy.
Yeah, Tristan Shandy. I used to book in as him. It sort of made it worse, really. It's almost like... Well, my dad, because my dad's... His name's Peter Doherty as well. And, like, back in the... You know, the height of my infamy, he had loads of trouble, I think, like, trying to do things online and... Be like, yes, I'm... I went to the car next week in the Cotswolds, whatever, is that your name? Yeah, Peter Doherty, and the line would go dead. Like, things like that, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to start our descent into America. Uh-oh, turn back, he's banned. We're gonna have to go somewhere else. Sorry, everyone, put your seatbelts back on.
So your new album's out next week, tell us about it. All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade,
which is the beautiful hotel seafront street where the Albion Rooms is our headquarters, our hotel studio bar. And it's a finer collection of songs I don't think has been released on April the 5th this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're dead proud of it.
And where did you write it? Did you write in Normandy or Margate or what?
We did most of the writing in Margate, but we had a spell in Normandy, didn't we?
A spell in Jamaica as well.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, originally we needed a place where me and Carl could reconnect away from the melee and confusion. So we ended up on this glass studio. It was like a greenhouse on a hill.
And it was a mountain.
It was the day that they were burying
the Queen.
Queen Elizabeth II as well. So we were there at this, you know, one of the old colonial outposts. It was the remnants of a hurricane still around. There's all these tropical birds flying into the glass because it was really well polished.
It was really moody skies and it was just this wind and, you know, that electric air, that storm air.
Yeah.
And so the funeral's on the telly, we're getting served mountains of jerk chicken.
Yeah.
And there's just birds going poof, poof, poof on the glass.
Oh my God, that's fucking...
They were only concussing themselves. They weren't dying, so they'd be out for 5 minutes like... And then eventually they'd get up and find their way again. So we were trying to see...
we were trying to see
if we could still write songs, if we still had the old magic. So when we came back and sat down with the boys and the producer in Margate, we thought we were really proud of what we'd done, but it turned out we'd just written loads of really cod reggae songs.
Yeah, we got into the spirit while we were in there.
We had to start from scratch, but it was a chance for us just to...
No, there was a few keepers. And also we had
There was bits that we kept.
And we went up that Tabernacle Church on day one. So all the drummers, but they cut their teeth in the church. Mm. And it'd be just insane, like breakbeats going on, with the preacher going, rah! And people going, touched by the Lord, feeling all up and all
got
that.
The spirit and all that. Yeah, yeah, spirit, yeah.
So a few of them characters made it into some of the songs of our Sister Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
She's in there, one of the songs called Mustangs, which was one of the songs we did work on in Jamaica.
Yeah, we brought him a few things, just in case the bass player and drummer are listening, think about the budget. Yeah.
No, he's thinking, because I've written a sitcom like this, and I wrote it with a partner, and it's weird the first bit getting into it again, isn't it? And just testing the waters. You've got to be brave, haven't you, and say, this is what I think. Yeah. What about this? What about that? You've got to be really comfortable with that person because you don't want to be egging.
And also, I think it takes bravery and truth to be able to say, this isn't working, and to walk away, which would have broken my heart, but we'd have had to have done it.
But it was 9 years since we'd last written together, like in that capacity. So there was a little bit of pressure. We're both sort of in denial. But when you take all the crap away, and old friends and old chemistry are still old friends and old chemistry, I think that stuff's
kind of lost,
doesn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to start our descent into London. He's banned from London. He's banned from London. Reverse the plane. Please, thank you.
Just got time now for our quick fire round, okay? Mojito or mint tea?
Ooh, depends on the time of day, but mojito, I think. Yeah, it's going to have to
mojito. Be. Yeah, mojito. Mile High or I'm Too Shy? Are you a member of the Mile High Club?
Mile High, I think.
Haven't you got to meet them on the plane? I was thinking about this the other day. But in which case, no.
What? Oh, you've got to have... Oh, I didn't know about this. You have to meet...
That's right.
No, it's
have
not.
Have a look. Check
in that case, I'm a Mile High snogger, if that's the case.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mile High Bits.
Mile High Bits?
Mile High Bits Club, it's a new word. Oh, right. To watch TV.
What do you mean? What's this knowing, sharing knowing looks? What is it?
You have to start watching Love Island or something.
Okay.
Alcatraz or Alan Carr? Would you rather go to prison or on holiday with Alan Carr?
Well, they've turned it into luxury flats now, Alcatraz.
You liar.
They have. I swear
down. It's now a Leon.
I'm a Pisces. Well, read the room. Alan Carr.
Come on, it's a trick no brainer.
Yeah, of course.
Nudist or not on your Nelly, do you have a skinny dip?
I do sometimes, yeah, but only when it's down the beach and no one else is there. I'm not like a flagrant exhibitionist.
No,
on my cheese string. No, nudist exhibitionist.
Nudist, not wonderful.
Under
what about you?
Same.
Nudist, lovely. And last but not least, tip 'em or fuck 'em. Do you tip 'em or do you go fuck 'em? I'll never see you again.
What are we talking about?
Tipping people. I'm a tipper.
You tip 'em. You know, you get good service at a hotel or way.
I'm a well-known generous tipper, and he's a fuck 'em all day long.
No, I'm a tipper, man. Last night I tipped.
Last time I tipped 50.
You wouldn't pay a pound for a Duncan Goodhue photo.
Now I've got a record company can pay for it. 15 quid tip last night, thank you. And Tony, this morning for the breakfast.
I'm a tipper, my wife, she then kicks off. She's like, stop being flashy, we can't afford it. And she takes it off the table, which is even more embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Stop trying to be flash. I've got a reputation to keep up. She's like,
stop being flash. She takes it away in front of them.
Leaves a couple of euros.
In France, you can they tip a euro or something, don't they?
In France, they're not like over here. In France.
They live off the tips in France, like in America, in Paris.
Really?
In Paris, yeah. But a lot of that's why they're like places that don't take cash, because it's the waitress or the waiter that loses out.
Yeah, I hate that when you pay, and they don't even get in the waitresses, exactly. Do they? I hate that. Pisses me right off.
But sometimes in place of a tip, some good advice can be just.
Or maybe a song, like. Or maybe a jingle that we've that we've sang throughout the show today.
Start a conga.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
Would you like
us,
to pick up your emotional baggage from the carousel?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air. Oh, thank you, Pete and Carl. That was so much fun and so amazing singing with you. Do you reckon I could be a new member of the Libertines? Okay, we'll leave it there. Now listen, if you want to hear them doing what they do best, April the 5th, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade is their new album. Thanks so much for listening. We know there are other airlines, but don't ever forget, nice to be.